things I've been stressing these past few weeks as we began our preparation for Great Lent, and now that we are actually in the season of Great Lent, is the fact that our church, during this holy season, calls us back to the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and its importance, and how it should be at the center of our lives. That continues today. We have, actually it began last week, we have in the Gospel book, if you were to see it, when you turn to the pages that begin Great Lent, it says, the Gospel of St. Mark, beginning the Gospel of St. Mark. Now last Sunday we had a reading from St. John, it was specific for the Sunday of Orthodoxy, but throughout the season of Great Lent, we have readings from St. Mark's Gospel. St. Mark's Gospel, part of the reason for this, why it is read during Great Lent, is because during Lent we go back to the beginning. As I said, back to the teaching. And St. Mark's Gospel is considered, chronologically speaking, to be the first Gospel that was written. But also, you'll notice in that Gospel, if you follow the readings during this season of Great Lent, that Jesus is constantly referred to as what? As teacher. Teacher. It's the primary name that Mark uses to address Jesus. We see it today in a reading from St. Paul's letter to the Hebrews. The church is reminding us the importance of the teaching, because it talks about how in the beginning thou didst found the earth, the heavens and the works, that heavens are the work of thy hands, and so forth. And then what do we see Paul go on to say? Therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard. In other words, the teaching, the scripture, is what he's saying. Lest we drift away from it. For if the message declared by angels was valid, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? He's referring to here a great salvation being the teaching, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so notice how St. Paul is connecting God himself, the Lord himself, with the teaching. That is to say, contrary to what we often think, St. Paul is telling us that God is not just some abstract being, but that God is a teaching. And he's always connected to that teaching. And so don't just think about God out there somehow controlling the world, but God teaching us the way that we should live our lives. This is one of the most important aspects, brothers and sisters, of Great Lent, is for us to be reminded of that teaching. One of the most important things that we need to remember about the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ that goes so contrary to what we hear oftentimes today, whether explicitly or implicitly within Christianity, is it shows that it's contrary to what is often referred to as the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel, in essence, tells you that if you are a true Christian, if you're a true believer, and you're following the way of God, then things will go well in your life. You will become prosperous. Usually that means financially prosperous, and of course they would like a little bit of your money, as they teach you this on TV and in the churches. And that will help you to become even more prosperous. We see it also taught in a way, again, whether explicitly or implicitly, in this idea that if we are living according to God's will, that we would be healthy. And that if we have some sort of bodily illness, then perhaps it's because of our sin. Not just our sin in general, as we Orthodox confess that we live in a sinful and fallen world, but very specifically a sin in our lives. It's been going on a long time. Unfortunately, I found out when I was older, I wondered one time why we left the church that we were going to when I was younger, that I liked. And my parents told me when I got older, because in talking with the pastor, he told my mother that a health problem that she had, which needed to be taken care of by a trained doctor, was a spiritual problem, and that it was because of sin in her life. So this is something that has been going on for a long time, at least in America, within Christianity. And I bring it up in part because today, what we hear in St. Mark's Gospel can be confused by people who preach this type of message. And note how this man, this paralytic, was healed, while he was also forgiven his sins. But brothers and sisters, what we see in today's Gospel is not at all what is taught by this prosperity Gospel, but rather we see that what Jesus does, when this man is brought to him, this paralytic, and obviously they're bringing him to Jesus because they want him to heal his body, Jesus does something that frankly might seem quite offensive to these people that brought him. He said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." That's not what they were looking for. They were looking for Jesus to heal him so they could get up and walk. But Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven you." He heals him in his spirit. Because ultimately that is what is most important. And Jesus recognized that even if he would heal this man, as he did later, which I'll talk about, this man still dies. None of us continues to live forever. And so we must try to rid ourselves of our sins, because we all die and all will stand, as we confess in the Nicene Creed, before the judgment seat of Christ. And so we must prepare ourselves for that. So Jesus simply forgives this man his sin. He was going to go about his way and keep teaching the others. But notice that it was those who did not believe in Jesus who pushed him further. Who said, "How can you do this? What right do you have to do this? Who gave you this authority? How can you tell us, prove to us, that you have the ability to forgive sins?" And it was only then that Jesus decided, for their sake and for ours, even more than for the paralytic, to show that he had the power to forgive sins, which is an invisible power. Only then does he show visibly that he has this power by telling this man to get up and to walk. But the importance, the precedence, the only thing that Jesus intended to do from the beginning was to heal this man in his soul. And that's an important lesson for us, brothers and sisters. Because during this season of Lent, what we are invited by the church to do is to let our souls be healed by Jesus Christ and by his teaching and by putting that into action in our lives. The church tells us very specifically to put aside some of the needs of the body, to no longer give our body precedence, but to focus on our soul, on our spirit, and on the way that we live our lives and the way that we treat and interact with others. And ultimately, all of this season of Great Lent will culminate in what is the greatest mockery of the prosperity gospel. The only one that we confess who is perfect is what? Humiliated and nailed upon the tree and made a public spectacle. Where's the prosperity in that? Where do we see in the life of Jesus the prosperity gospel? Where do we see in the life of Jesus this idea that if we just believe that everything will go well? We see the exact opposite. And so we must ask ourselves that difficult question. If everything is going well in our lives, perhaps we're doing something wrong. Perhaps it's not the blessing of God that is upon us. Perhaps it's the blessing of this world. If we are not willing to be humiliated, and to suffer that same humiliation that our Lord did for his teaching, then perhaps there's something wrong with us that needs correction. Because ultimately what we see and what we'll hear in this story of Jesus Christ as we continue throughout this holy season of Lent and into Holy Week, what we see is that Jesus Christ suffered a great deal of humiliation publicly because he was willing to stand up for those who had no voice. Because he was willing to be associated with those who were outcasts. He was willing to love and to treat with dignity and respect those who the religious and the civil elites of his time could make no time for. So during this season of Great Lent, brothers and sisters, the Church is calling us back to this teaching, the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, the teaching of uplifting those who are downtrodden, the teaching of standing up for those who are outcast. And when we do that, the world often brings upon us scorn and ridicule. Others, even sometimes in our own church community, just as in the religious community of Jesus' time, heap upon us scorn and disapproval. But we are called to follow the way of Jesus Christ. It's a way that can make us uncomfortable. It's a way that can bring upon us humiliation. But it is the way that leads us, as he now sits, to the right hand of God. To him be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.